Listener-supported Light of Life Radio brings you Answering the Call, discussing the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious in our listening area. And now here's Answering the Call with host Irene Carubia.
The following recording was made in August of 1988 at the annual West Virginia Charismatic Conference in Charleston, West Virginia, and is broadcast today with permission from the Schmidt family. Although the audio quality is less than today's standard, the personal witness and message by the late Bishop Bernard Schmidt is most powerful. This recording was made shortly after the then pastor of St. Michael's Parish in Wheeling, Father Bernard Schmidt, received notification from Rome to become the seventh bishop of Wheeling, Charleston.
Come, children of the Father. So the relationship we have first and foremost is that we're in the family of God and we are brothers and sisters. It's only after that relationship, and that relationship is the primary one, that then we start taking on ministries and we're called into various ways and various roles and various orders, if you will. And it's really kind of rare, but a tremendously unique blessing when one of the brothers is called to serve in the priesthood and then is called to serve as a bishop. And we are a blessed people to have a brother who not only is our brother in the Spirit and brother in the Lord, but also who is our brother who has accepted the responsibility to guide us to come to know more clearly what the Word of God is to us, how He is speaking to us. So I know we want to greet Him, but I ask and I commit to you, our Brother Bernie, that the acclamation that we will give is also our speaking to you, that we will pray for you, and that we will support you in your ministry as you try to guide us better to see the Lord. First, our brother, Bernie Schmidt, our new auxiliary bishop in this diocese. Bernie, welcome.
Thank you for the nice welcome. It certainly is a joy to be with you and among so many of you that I've known for a long, long time. It does make me feel very much at home. Even some kind faces from Wheeling are now, as well as my old friends from the Kanawha Valley and Parkersburg and many other places around the diocese. I didn't come with any great big rousing sermon for you, but I just wanted to let you know how happy I am to be with you and maybe to share a few ideas of my personal experience of the Holy Spirit in my life. Because I became extremely aware, as you might well imagine, when I received word from the Holy Father through the Papal Nuncio that I was chosen to be a bishop of the Catholic Church and the successor of the Apostles. And I knew that the Holy Spirit was kind of at it again. Every one of us have a very, very different story to tell as God works in our lives. And that's the way it ought to be. This wonderful world is made up of many, many different kinds of God's creatures and many different kinds of flowers and roses and trees and animals, and so with human beings. Each one of us are absolutely unique and wonderful, and God has worked in our lives, each one, in a very different and very wonderful way. God worked in my life in a wonderful way long before I ever knew that He was working there. The great, great miracle of my life was the fact that somehow in God's plan, I, like you, was predestined to be a son and daughter of the Heavenly Father. that wonderful day shortly after I was born, when I was baptized into the Lord Jesus and shared in his life and filled with his Spirit. And God was working long before I knew that he was at work. And he taught me to pray, and he taught me to know Jesus even as a little one, before I really realized who it was that I was knowing and loving and serving. He led me to Holy Communion. He led me to receive Jesus and to get to know him in that wonderfully personal and innocent way that children can come to know their Lord Jesus. He came to me in the sacrament of confirmation, and I hardly knew he was coming. And after he came, I didn't know he was there. And yet he did wonderful things in my life, even as a young person. I felt this little urge, even as a child, to go upstairs by myself and take my little prayer book and pray to my God in private. And I looked forward to those little opportunities. And in those kind of little intimate prayers, I began to feel that calling from God that I was to serve him in a special way, that maybe priesthood was where I belonged in life. That wonderful experience of getting to know the Lord better throughout my growing up years and my seminary years, and getting to know the theology that would support that faith. And then that great, great experience of being ordained to the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And you know that you've been changed. And you know that now on your ministry to the Lord is going to be a very different ministry. It's going to be a ministry of serving people in an absolutely wonderful way. You're going to be someone that people are going to look to for real leadership and for real teaching. You're going to be the one that they turn to bring Jesus to them, not only in the Eucharist, but in the Scriptures, and in reconciliation and in healing. But after all of those experiences with the Lord and with his Holy Spirit, it was only 20 years or so after I was ordained to the priesthood that I had that unique kind of experience that I'm sure all of you share with me. But on that particular occasion, when they asked me, "Would you want to go to a prayer meeting?" And I said, "I don't need to go to prayer meetings. I'm at prayer meetings all the time." And so, "Well, this one's different." And they asked me, you know, about charismatic, and I had no idea what they were talking about. But for some strange and wonderful reason, I was led to take a trip from St. Albans to Parkersburg to go to a prayer meeting. And that after that meeting, which was very wonderful, I really felt close to the people there and to the Lord in their prayer and in their singing and in their scripture readings, and they really did know Jesus. And you could tell that they did. But then afterwards they asked me if I would like to be prayed over to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure I've told most of all of you before that, not being a terribly, terribly greedy person, but greedy enough, I figured if they had something that I didn't have, or if God had something to give me that I didn't already receive, I certainly wasn't going to turn it down. They prayed over me. And they prayed over me, and they prayed like mad. And nothing seemed to happen. And I thought, uh-oh, I've disappointed them, or I'm something's wrong here. So I went home that night, but something had happened. It just takes me a little bit longer to experience the things that happen in my life. The Holy Spirit came when I was baptized. He came in confirmation. I didn't realize. But after I got home that night, I realized, and all of a sudden I had one of those wonderful experiences of God's presence. that God was there in an absolutely unique way, and there was no denying it or no questioning it, and His love and His power and His goodness were so close and so real that it's one of those times when the clock stops and you don't have any idea of how long you've been with the Lord. And there's no way, there's no words, there's no expression of that kind of experience. It is just God wrapping you up in His arms. And after that, you never could deny that the Spirit of God is with you and in you, and that God loves you with an absolute infinite love. It was really very interesting for me that as I went through that experience and shared that experience with others, and they especially shared it with me and strengthened me in that experience, I am really a product of all the people that have loved me down through the years, and many, many of you are certainly among those people. After that experience of the Holy Spirit, I went on with my priesthood as best I could. And then, one Pentecost, after we had, as we traditionally do at St. Michael's in Wheeling, we have a novena before Pentecost to prepare for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And for 9 days, we gather in church each evening, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will come, not only for us, but for all of the people of the parish, that He would come in a powerful way on that Pentecost. And this last Pentecost, we did the same thing. And maybe we prayed a little bit too hard. Because the day after Pentecost is the day that I received word from the Holy Father that I had been chosen to be a bishop. It also happened at the shrine of the Immaculate Conception during the diocesan pilgrimage. And I knew that there was something special about Mary, that Mary had such an important part to play in my life from the time I was little. We always said the family rosary at home. Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary was a very, very important part of our life. And I knew the fact that this announcement came to me when I was at the shrine of Mary, that that was telling me something. Mary is the one that really introduced us to the Holy Spirit. It was Mary's experience of the Holy Spirit that got this whole thing of Jesus going in this world, you know. She was at prayer, and the angel came and told her she was chosen. And she says, how can this happen? And the angel says, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. It's the Spirit coming upon Mary that made everything else possible. Mary is the one that really introduced us to the Holy Spirit, that really brought forth Jesus into the world. And not only at the beginning of her life did she bring forth the Spirit, but at the very end of her life, even after the death of her son on the cross, she's the one who is praying with the apostles for these 9 days in preparation for the new outpouring of the Holy Spirit to bring forth Jesus again, the first time to bring forth Jesus in His human body so that He might live among us and teach us and die for us and heal us. Now, she would bring forth Jesus in His mystical body through now a new outpouring of that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon Mary and upon the apostles in such a powerful way that the body of Christ, the church, was really formed. And ever since then, the Spirit has been with His people. To what degree the Spirit is with His people depends upon how much we continue to pray and ask for that Spirit as a church, as a whole people of God. And if we're smart enough to pray as the apostles did in union with Mary, then that Spirit is going to be poured forth in a really powerful way again. The problem, as we all know, is not a problem with God. It's not a problem of us begging Him to send forth His Spirit. If there's anything in this whole world that the Almighty wants to do, is to pour out His Spirit. If there's a problem, the problem has to be on our part. We have to learn somehow to do what Mary did, to surrender to that Spirit. Behold the handmaid for the Lord. Let God do with me whatever He wants. Let Him really come upon me and transform me and use me. Let me become the real servant, the real handmaid of the Lord. And if we could just learn that surrender, but not one time in our life, not at the time of peak experiences when God is so powerfully close and so loving that we never could deny His presence at all, but those times when He doesn't seem to be quite smiling the same way, when He doesn't seem to be quite so close. And if I can surrender to His love in those times of dryness, in those desert times, when I can accept the cross lovingly and willingly, when it isn't so easy, and when there's not so many smiling and happy faces around me to support me, and if I can keep on knowing the love of God and surrendering to His love in difficult situations, the Lord wants to, tremendous desire to pour out His Spirit. And if we can just open up ourselves and teach other people to surrender to the love of your God, how that Spirit would work. It's the only hope I have. When they told me I was to be a bishop, I said, I can't do that. There's no way. I'm not prepared for that. I can't possibly ever be a bishop. And they asked me, I told them, a lot of people since this was announced, that I would much, much, much prefer to continue to be a priest, to continue to be a pastor in a parish. I love that. Being a bishop is kind of like taking you away from one group and spreading you out so wide. I hope I can still keep personal touch. A number of people said, well, couldn't you have said no? And the answer is, of course you can say no. They're not going to tie you up and force you. But it's a strange, strange question for Christians to ask. How can we say no to God, whether we think He knows what He's doing or not? Whether it makes any sense to us. There's only one answer to God. If I've given the first 33 years of priesthood to Him, I'm not going to turn around now and tell Him, no, I won't do that because it doesn't please me. It's not what I'd like. There's only one answer that any of us have to our God, and that's the yes of surrender, no matter what it is. And if we'll keep saying yes, and if we'll keep being open to that Spirit, it's amazing. I go forward, even as a bishop, with some kind of strange and perhaps almost crazy confidence. If so many times in the past He has chosen the weak things to confound the strong, I guess He can do it one more time. So I'm very, very happy to be here with you. And I'm happy especially to celebrate the liturgy with you, to bring Jesus with you in a new and even wonderful way, and that we might share together in the living and the dying and the rising of Jesus, and that we might partake of that Eucharist that really makes us one in the Spirit. Thank you.
I ask that you all extend your hands forward. We're going to just pray God's anointing Spirit upon our brother Bernie, as he does go out with new boldness to lead us, His church, His God's people.
Radio thanks the Schmidt family for sharing this archival recording that describes the life of the late Bishop Bernard Schmidt and his service to the people of the Diocese of Wheeling-Charleston.
Answering the Call is produced by Light of Life Radio, your listener-supported Catholic radio station in north-central West Virginia and the Upper Ohio Valley. Archived recordings of Answering the Call are available at www.lolradio.org.